Just Nosso, we want to learn again a mimer from the Sefer Shvilei Pinchas, from Reb Pinchas Friedman Shlita. And he's focused on the end of Parshas Nosso a little bit, which is a kind of a section that very few darshanim get a chance to learn and to say any drush on. So I found this very challenging, very exciting. And I have to say, by way of introduction, his approach in terms of the family structure, the husband, the wife, the relationship between the two, and the relationship to children is somewhat classical. You know, it fits into the mold of a family unit that maybe is not so contemporary, but still, I think it's kedai to see how he weaves this into the Torah itself. The Torah says in Bamidbar Hei, Pasuk Vav, Ish o Isha ki yasu mikol chatas ha'odom limol mal bashem, v'oshma nefesh ahi, v'svadu es chatosom esher osu, v'heshiv es ha'shomo b'rosho, V'chamishoso Yosef Olav V'nosan Lasher Hashem Lo. What is this parasha all about? What is this sin? What is this punishment? What is the Torah requiring on the monetary payments? All this is really addressed by Rashi in the parasha. And Rashi speaks about the fact that, let's open up the Chumash and actually read the Rashi. Again, Bamidbar Hei Pasuk Vav. Let me just get the right page here. And if you're looking in the blue Chumashim, you'll see this here on page 346. And again, the parasha opens up. Daber al bnei Yisrael, Isha Ishaki Asu Mikol Chatos Adam Limol Mal Bashem V'Oshma Nefesh Ahi. So what is this Mal Bashem? V'svadu es chatosom esher asu v'eshiv es ashamo b'rosho v'chamisha so yosif olo v'nosa l'asher asham lo. The psukim seem to indicate that there's a bein adam l'chavero element here, and a payment and a compensation. You have to add a chamishis. And yet at the same time, the Torah says Mal Bashem. So what's going on over here? So Rashi points out, based on a Gemara in Bava Kamma, Kuf Yud, that the Torah here is talking about what's called Gozel Mamim Michaver V'Nishba Lo Sheker. It was a double Avera. Not only did he steal, did he embezzle money from his friend, but on top of it all, he took a Shvua. In other words, his friend suspected him of stealing, of theft, and sued him in a court of law. As a result of that claim, the Nitba, in this case the defendant, who turns out, as it were, to be the thief, he took a false oath. And then later on, he admitted and confessed his sin. So there's a double avera here. On the one hand, he stole money from his friend. On the other hand, he took a false oath with the Shem Hashem. Now, the Mefarshim asks the following, and Rashi touches on it here. This parsha, this whole sugya of someone who steals and took a false oath appears early in the Torah in Vayikra Perkei, and it says there, Nefesh ki sechto mal amal b'Hashem v'kichesh b'amiso b'pikadon v'tzumas yad v'gezel o oshak es amiso. And Rashi here addresses the question, what new chidushim are in Parshas Noso here in Bamidbar Perkei that we don't have back in Vayikra Perek Hey? And Rashi says, "Bifril shnei dvarim shenischadshu ba." There are two chidushim that are added here in the parashin Noso. Number one, visvadu. In other words, that he has to recite vidui and do tshuva. That doesn't say back in Vayikra Hey. And number two, it establishes that he's chayav a chomesh v'osham only if there are two Edim who testify against him and he confesses to the crime, Also, Rashi points out here that there's a parsha here of Gezel Ager. Let's say the thief stole from a ger who had no Yorshim, then the money that he has to pay, which normally would go to the Nigzal, now is paid to the Kohanim. But nevertheless, when you look at our parsha here in Noso, you get the impression that the Torah was almost deliberately vague and ambiguous, what we call klali. Right, we're talking about isha isha ki asu mikol chatos ha'odom. Now, if we're talking about gezel, what's the phrase mikol chatos ha'odom? And then again, the nefesh, it says v'yoshma nefesh ahi, also sounds like a sin of the nefesh, of the soul of a person. And then following that, it says v'svadu es chatosam, the mitzvah of vidui and tshuva. So many of the svarim, what we call the svarim akadosh, and the holy books, want to say that you can understand this parasha on two levels. On one level of pshat, it's talking about gezel or gezel ager, followed with the shvuah sheker. That's fine, but the pasuk is particularly vague to allow us a broader, more klaliyistika avera here, referring to all, encompassing all avers, kiyasu mikol chatos ha'odom. And then visvadu es chatos means that the Torah here is mandating vidui on a chet, a tikkun, to rectify the sin, to do a complete, total tshuva shlema. And the question that we want to raise is, according to all those svarim, how do we understand the words veheshiv es hashomo berosho v'chamishoso Yosef olov v'nosan lasher osham lo? Now, as we're talking in general about sins, and the thrust of the mandate here in this parish is tshuva and vidui, why veheshiv es hashomo? Well, what's the veheshiv es hashomo? Who is he sinning against? I mean, he's not necessarily sinning against the person. And furthermore, what's chamishoso Yosef olov? I mean, that doesn't seem to make sense if we're talking in a general sense about averos. So here we have a sefer to look at called the Ksiva L'chaim, which was authored by Reb Chaim Yisachar Dov Gross, who was a meshiv. He was the head of the Bezdin in a town called Petrova, and he wants to interpret this parasha based on a Gemara in Yevamos. The Gemara in Yevamos is very famous on Daf Samach Gimel, and the Gemara tells us about a certain cute tradition in Marava, in Eretz Yisrael, that when a man got married to a woman, they would ask him, in a kind of a codified form, matzah or motze. How is the marriage? Is it a matzah situation or a motze situation? Now, the matzah is based on a pasuk in Mishlei, in Perek Yud Ches, matzah isha matzah tov, and the motze is based on a pasuk in Koheles, u motze ani mar mi moveses ha isha. So on the one hand, in Mishlei, Shlomo Melch says that I found a woman, I found good. On the other hand, in Koheles, he says, in that typical style of Koheles, with a certain cynicism and a certain depression almost, motzi ani mar mi mov. So is it matzah or motzi? So the Marsha is very famous for a certain gematria. And with this gematria, he wants to explain the difference between matzah and motzi. Now, he says the following. The gematria of the word ish is 311. The gematria of the word isha is 306. Now, if you subtract the 36 from the 311, then you realize that isha is 5 less than ish. And presumably, the higher the number, the more, in a sense, kavod. And this, says the Varshas, the remez is the allusion to the fact that a woman should accept her husband's authority, if you will. She should consider her husband like 5 levels above above her. I don't mean five levels, but I mean five little points, and we'll see what those 5 points are. And therefore, when we go back to the pasuk of Matza Isha Masa Tov, the word Isha is written without a hey at the beginning of the word. It doesn't say Ha-Isha, right, which we'll see in the pasuk in Koheles, but here in Mishlei it says Matza Isha without the hey, which clearly refers Isha to the number 306. Why is she considered Matza Tov? Because she's an Isha, meaning she understands that she has to respect and give a certain element of authority to her husband, to the Ish, because he's five more than she is. But if she refuses to accept in any sense a hachnath vis-a-vis her husband, you know, she's going to be the balabasta and she doesn't care what he says or what he thinks, then we apply the principle of the pasuk in Koheles, Motzi ani mar mivoves es ha-isha. Now we're adding the five of the hey at the beginning of the word isha, and we jack up the ha-isha from 306 up to 311, adding that extra hey, that extra five, and now she considers herself equal to her husband. She has no respect, she doesn't look up to her husband. That's going to be motzi ani es ha-isha mar mivoves. Now, the truth is that we'll find something very similar in the writings of Reb Chaim, who's the brother of the Maral Prague. In his Igeres HaTiul, he writes, Motza Isha Motza Tov. He says that Ove Gematrios Omrim, those who really are loyal followers of the Gematria, of the numerical value system, Ki Isha Gematria Shalot Shin Vov, which means five less than Ish. And this arema is that if an isha is mishabedes atzma labailo, if she accepts her husband, then she gives up five, so to speak. She dedicates five to him. What does that mean, dedicates five? So he says that this is the five malachos that are isha osa labailo. And you'll find the five malachos listed in the Rambam in Perek Chaf Aleph Milchus Ishus, where he writes, Nimtzu kol ha-malachos shekol isha osos on l'bayla chamesh malachos. There are five different categories of malachos that she's required to do on behalf of her husband. And these include tviya, which is weaving. Again, in those days, they didn't have manufactured clothes. And rochetes, pun of yod v'raglo, she prepares the bath for him. And then mozeges lo kos, she prepares the wine. In those days, they used to mix undiluted wine with water. Matzes Samita, she prepares the bed, and she serves him in a very close way. So these are the five. Now, when we say Motza Tov, the goodness is the fact that she gives that five over to her husband, and she fulfills her responsibility, accepting the honor and the respect that she has for her husband. On the other hand, the pasuk of Motzi Ani Mar Mimavah says Ha Isha, which is the Gematria Shin Yud Aleph, which is exactly the same as Ish. This is trying to establish that if the woman wants to equate herself with her husband, she's not willing to be Machnia herself, that's Mavis. And he quotes a pasuk also in Koheles that says V'isha B'chol Eila Lo Matzasi, and now it has Isha, which is the gematria, is Shin Yud Beis, which means it's one more than Ish, because now we're adding Ver Isha, the Vav, instead of the Hey. That's the worst situation, because then she wants to be Machnia her husband. She feels herself higher than her husband. She wants to subjugate her husband to him, to her, excuse me. And amongst the Nashim Rose, he says, Lo Matzasi, I don't find anyone worse than that. Now, this concept of five malachos, which we saw in the Rambam, that sort of explains the difference between the gematria of Isha at Shin Vav and the gematria of Ish jacking it up by five to Shin Yud Aleph, is going to shed a light on a very important issue, and that is the relationship between parents and their influence on their children, whether it's the male children, the boys, or the female children, the girls. We know, even looking at society, that the way children behave or chas v'shalom misbehave is very much because of the influence of the parents and the way they behave in the house. Rashi seems to indicate this in the parsha of Nara Murasa Shezinsa, and the Rashi asks in Dvarim Perek Chav Beis, why is it that the skila in this case is taking place in front of the house, in front of the Pesach Beis Avir, the Torah says. Rashi adds three words, and he says, "Reu gidulim shegidlasam." Take a look at the base of Via, the house of her father that raised her. Now, what we would like to ask is, who's to blame here? Obviously, the parents are at fault, but is the primary blame on him or on her, on the father or on the mother? So we go back to the Marsha, and the Marsha says that Isha is bigamatria 306, which is 5 less than Ish, which is a gematria of 311, to teach us that the woman is machnias. So really, in a sense, who's calling the shots? Who's making the decisions? And the answer is, it's the Baal, it's the husband. He's the Iker Mashpia in the house. And if that be the case, if she accepts his influence, so he generates the ambiance in the house, then if chas v'shalom we see that the children are not going in the right way, there's some sort of pagam in the way they behave, we should really blame the father for that, more than the mother. And that's what the pasuk means here in our parasha Nasa, when it says, Isha o isha ki yasu mikol chatas adam. In other words, the Isha is a reference to the husband and his wife, to the father and the mother. And kiyasu mikol chatas ha'adam means if chas v'shalom there's a chet in the children of me'ila mol b'ashem, then v'ashma nefesh ahi. That what does it mean v'ashma v'afesh nefesh ahi? We go back to blame the parents that started in this pasuk with ish o isha. And if you'll ask, well, which of the two parents is more, you know, in a sense, carries the greater responsibility here, the pasuk says, "Visvadu es chatosim asher osu," and then after the vidui of the parents, because of their chait that caused their children to go in the wrong path, who is more responsible? The Torah says, "Veheishiv es hashamo berosho," clearly referring in the masculine to the father, hashamo berosho. It doesn't say Birosha, even though it opens up with Isha Isha, but it says Birosha, a reference to the father. And why then is the father more guilty for causing this mishap amongst the children, the lack of a proper education? Because Chamishaso Yosef Olav, because he has that extra 5 in the number Ish above and beyond the Isha, which is a remez to the fact that a woman needs to be machnia herself, and therefore the main influence of the family in the structure and the ambiance of the family is his. She accepts his word, he generates the ambiance and guides the family, and he's got the chamishasa Yosef olav. The anhogas habayis depends primarily on him, on the father, and therefore he's guilty, and therefore it says ashamo Heshivas Hashama Birosho. Rosho means his head. And the number 5, which really indicates the extra special powerful responsibility on the shoulders of the father, is perhaps also indicated by the fact that the Mishnah establishes in Kiddushin Daf Chav Tes, the father is in charge of the mitzvos klape his son, responsibility of the father vis-a-vis his son. And the Mishnah says, "Kol mitzvos haben al av anoshim chayovim v'noshim pturos." Any mitzvahs that have to be fulfilled vis-a-vis the ben by the father is responsible and not the mother. And the Gemara quotes a brisa: "Tnina lahad d'tana rabbanan av chayv b'bno." Now watch this: "Lamulo lifdoso l'lamdo Torah l'asio isha l'lamdo umnis." Let's count five. The number five again appears here. Lamulo is number one. Livdoso, Pidgin Aben is number two. Lulamdo Torah is number three. Lasio Isha to marry off his son, that's number four. Lulamdo Umnis to teach his son a trade. So it means that the reason why the number Ish, which we said was 311, is five more than Isha, which is 306, is because there are five things that the Isha doesn't have, meaning five responsibilities vis-a-vis raising the children, which are incumbent upon, placed on the shoulders of the father, on the Ish. So he has five more than the Isha. Because in these five instances, the mitzvah is exclusively on the father and not on the mother. So we begin to appreciate why it is that if the children are not behaving properly, we're going to blame the Ashama Berosho, as we said, Berosho Shala'av, Velo Berosho Shala'em, because after all, he has the Ish, which is five more than the Isha. He's got these five responsibilities vis-a-vis the children that she is exempt from, and those five mitzvos really encompass the gamut of both what we call Gashmius and Ruchnius. You know, we're talking about Lalamdo Torah as a spiritual matter, and then we're talking about his physical well-being, Lasio Isha, to teach him Umnus. So the father really has responsibilities in every dimension of the children's upbringing, and therefore he is held more responsible if, heaven forbid, the children are off the derech and they're not behaving properly. And the truth is that of these five responsibilities, if we had to isolate one and call it the primary responsibility, no doubt it would be Lelamdo Torah. And the Gemara tells us in Kiddushin that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Klal Yisrael, Ani barasi yetzer hara, you're going to have many challenges that could take you off the derech and force you to deviate and seduce you on the wrong path. But, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, barasi lo Torah tavlin, im atem oskim b'torah, ein atem nimsarim b'yado. How do we overcome the power, neutralize the power of the yetzer hara? By studying Torah. Now, if the sons are sinning, it means that the yetzer hara got the best of it. That's a siman, what we call a gilui milsa, that the father did not fulfill his role, his responsibility to teach his son Torah in the proper way. A woman, on the other hand, is exempt from teaching Torah, as the Gemara says in Kiddushin Chavtes, so if the mother is not obligated, she's not responsible for the teaching of the Torah, that responsibility is clearly and exclusively placed on the shoulders of the father, then it's no surprise that if the father ignored or fell short in living up to his responsibilities with regard to teaching his son Torah, then the son is not equipped with that powerful force to face the Yetzer Hara. He's going to fall, chas v'shalom, to the prey of the Yetzer Hara, to sin. And therefore, again, when this pasuk says here in Parshas Noso, Ve'yishivas Hashamo Berosho, that we point the accusing finger, the ashma, on the head of the father because the son is sinning, he has the chiyuv of chinuch vis-a-vis his children much more than the mother does. And therefore the Torah has to add v'chamishasa Yosef olav, because we see that the ish that has five beyond isha indicates the five responsibilities of chinuch towards the children, and the mother is exempt from these responsibilities, therefore she doesn't have that extra five. Now we understand that the ashama, the guilt, is definitely going to be placed on the shoulders of the father. He was apparently derelict in these five responsibilities, these five mitzvahs that are incumbent upon him vis-a-vis his children. And perhaps we can understand that when Rabbi Akiva darshins in Sota Daf Yud Zayin, Ish ve'isha zachu shechina beinehem, when a husband and wife marry together and they work together as a team, then the shechina resides amongst them. Rashi says that the shechina here is represented by the what we call the abbreviated name of God, Yud Kei. Because if you take the word Ish, and you take the word Isha, and you calculate which letters are left out in the two reciprocal cases, in the case of Isha, there's no Yud, that's only in the word Ish. In the case of Ish, there's no He, that only appears in the letter He. We put together the Yud of Ish together with the hay of Isha, says Rashi, and what we end up with is Yud K, the Ashras Ashkina, because we have this Yud K that's brought down between the Isha and the Isha. When the Isha and the Isha, in the context of the relationship, bring God into the equation, then the Shekhinah is Shor amongst them. And that's the Yud K. And the Keren David in Parshas Chayisora says that the main responsibility of a man is to teach and study Torah. What does the Torah say about the Isha? The Torah says, Eselo Ezer Kinegdo, which means she has to do whatever she can to facilitate and maximize his ability to study Torah. And if that be the case, then the two letters, you know, one is the Yud that appears in the name Ish, and the other is the Hey that appears in the name Isha, those represent really two different parts of the universe, parts of the world. The Yud represents Limud Torah. We'll see how that works out. And the Hay represents the help and the support that a woman gives. She's the power behind the throne. And why should we say such a thing? This is based on a famous Gemara in Menachas Chav Tesavid Beis, on the Pasuk in Yeshayahu HaNavi, that says, Ki be Yud Kei Hashem Tzur Olamim, which means God Tzur Olamim, He created the world with Yud Kei. Yud K, says the Gemara, each one represents a different world. God created two worlds. That's why it says Olamim in plural. It's this world, the Olam HaZeh, and the next world, which is Olam HaBa. This world was created with the Hey. And the next world, the world of eternity, was created with Yud. In other words, the Hey represents the physical, material world, the limited world that we live in down here. The Yud represents the infinite world of divinity, of Olam Abba. And now we can begin to see and understand why the teamwork of Ish v'Isha brings down the Shekhinah, because of the Yud K, because the Yud K now represents the two dimensions or the two creations of the two Olamos. The Yud we find with regard to the Ish, and that's alluding to the fact that his dedication in his life is to Torah, is to Olam Abba, is to eternity. But he can't live in this world, and he was placed in this world without the Hay, which represents this world, the finite world, the limited world, the physical material world. That Hay, he needs the Isha, the Hay of Isha. And this is a remez that she has to be Messiah, she has to help him to facilitate and expand his possibilities in Yoni Olam Abba, meaning in Torah learning. And she can do that by preparing everything that he needs and setting up an ambiance that would be appropriate to maximize his learning. So she represents the Hay, that's Isha, and that represents what she has to do and organize in this world on his behalf. He, on the other hand, has responsibility of the Yud, which represents the Olam Abba, the infinite world, and that means he's dedicating himself to the study of Torah. If the two of them work in tandem, in a perfect teamwork, she bringing the Hay to the table and he bringing to the Yud to the table, the Yud K represents Tzur Olamim, Ki Biyo Hashem, Tzur Olamim, the creation of these two worlds, this world and the next. And we begin to appreciate again what it says here in Parshas Noso, Veheshiv Es Hashomo Berosho, that we're going to blame any failure in raising the children on Rosho. Right, it says Ve'eshiv es Hashomo Berosho, the Rosha Ish, Yosef Mirosha Isha. And the reason for that is Chamishoso Yosef Olav, which means that he has five above her. What's the five? He has in his name Ish a Yud, which she doesn't have. She has on the other hand a Hey, which he doesn't have. The discrepancy between the two is five. And that five represents his responsibility vis-a-vis Esek HaTorah, because the Yud represents the spiritual and infinite world of Olam Abba, which is achieved through Esek HaTorah. She is exempt from that mitzvah of Lasok BaTorah, V'vanecha V'lo B'nosecha. So therefore the Achrayus, in terms of the Yud, which is the five beyond the Hay of Isha, means his responsibility of Yud expresses itself in Limud HaTorah. And that we saw as the Yud. And now, if he's derelict or he's deficient in the responsibility of Limud HaTorah, to teach his children Torah, to be mechanech his children b'darchei HaTorah, then he is derelict and he's held responsible. Again, it doesn't mean that she's exempt completely. She certainly has her part to play in the raising of the children, but he is the primary fault. The fault is on his shoulders. And if this be the case, we can shed a new light on the famous Gemara in Brachos Yud Zayin. Amalei Rav L'Rabbi Chiya Noshim B'mai Zochyon. A very strange question. In other words, how do the women get a share in the next world? And the answer is Bakriye B'nayu L'Bei K'nishta. Rashi says, Tinoko Shel Beis Rabban Hayu Regilim Lios Lomdim L'Fnei Rabban B'Beis HaKnesses. So first and foremost, she sends her children to the Tashbar, meaning to the local cheder, to study Torah at the feet of the Rebbe. And then the Gemara continues to say, Basnuya Gavraya Bei Rabbanon, that she sends her husband off to learn in the Beis Medrash. V'natrin L'Gavraya, and she waits for her husband, Adi Osubi Bei Rabbanon, until he returns. Rashi says, Mamtinos L'Baleim, V'nosnos L'Hem Rishus L'Leches V'Lumo Torah B'ir Acheres. So the full support for his Torah is supplied by his wife. And what does the Gemara mean, as we asked before, what is Noshim V'vai Zochin? A very strange question. Women have many mitzvahs, they have many Maisim Tovim. Okay, they're part of Mitzvah Seish Asman Groma, but most of the mitzvahs are Mitzvah Seish Ein Asman Groma. They're included in all those Ases. So what does it mean, Noshim V'vai Zochin? So the Yaris Tvash of Rabbi Yonasan Ivishitz presents the following thesis. He says, let's look at the famous statement which is included in the Haggadah, the declaration of Rabbi Lozov and Azariah, who says, Hareni kiven shivim shana velo zachisi sheteomer yitzias mitzrayim balelos. And that Mishnah, which is at the end of the first parak of Brachos, is interpreted by the Bartnura as saying, lo zachisi lo nitzachti lechachomim. Meaning, I was never able to win the battle and convince the Chachomim that there's a mitzvah of Yetzias Mitzrayim Balelos. And then the Aris Tvash adds another line. He says, V'domolo, where else do I find lo zachisi means lo nitzachti, I didn't succeed, I didn't win the battle. He says, B'gemara, domolo b'gemara, b'ha d'zachanu rabbeloz d'rabbonon klomar nitzachtim. So again, we see the word zchus used as nitzachon. And we've already mentioned in the Gemara, based on the Gemara Kiddush, that you can't win the battle against the Yetzer Hara without Limud Torah. So if that be the case, women who don't have the mitzvah of Limud Torah, how are they going to succeed victoriously and overcome the Yetzer Hara? A woman has the Yetzer Hara too. She doesn't have the Limud Torah, which is the tavlin, which is the antidote to beat and defeat the Yetzer Hara. So that's the question that Rebbe asked Rebbe Chiya in the Gemara in Brachos. Noshim b'mai zochyon. Zochyon means, as we saw in the Aras Dvash, nitzcham. In other words, how do they get the success and the victory in the battle against the powers of evil, the forces of the Yetzer Hara, if they don't have the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? And the answer is Bakri b'nai l'bei k'nishti b'sui gavraya b'i rabbonon v'natcha l'gavraya v'adi osu m'bei rabbonon. In other words, because they support Limud Torah of the children of their husband, it's as if they themselves were Osek B'Torah. In other words, vicariously, by facilitating the Torah of their husband and of their children, they have they're fortified with the power of Osek HaTorah, and that's how they're able to defeat the Yetzer Hara. So in other words, a woman, in order to really succeed in overcoming the Yetzer Hara, she needs to support the Esek HaTorah of her husband to get there for a chelik of his Torah, and that chelik will fortify her with the powers against the Yetzer Hara. Let's now go back to Parshas Noso that we started with. It says, Isha Isha Kiyasu Mikol Chatos HaOdom Limol Mal Bashem. And who's the cause of this Ma'al in the case of the children who aren't behaving properly? Is Vashama the Ashma HaNefeshahi. And who's the Nefeshahi that requires Vidui, who's guilty? It's Veheshiv as Hashama Barosho. It's Rosh Hashanah Av, as we said, Yosef Mi Rosh Hashanah Em. And why? Because Hamishasa Yosef Olav. because HaKadosh Baruch Hu added the Yud, which is five more than the Hey of an Isha. And this is a remnant that his, the husband's main primary responsibility is Esek HaTorah. And therefore, he has the responsibility and the guilt if the responsibility to raise his children, B'darchei HaTorah, and the guilt if he ignores that responsibility, if he's derelict. And now, we would like to study the words of one of the Talmidim of the Chassam Sofer, that's the old David, Rav David Deutsch. He was in the greatest of the Talmidim of the Chassam Sofer. I'm not sure if he was married into the family of the Chassam Sofer, but anyway, he writes, Ve'eshivas Hashova Barosho. We should interpret that based on the Gemara Avodah Zarah Daf Hey, Kol Ha'osa Mitzvah Achas Ba'olam Hazeh, Mekadmaso V'oleches L'fanav L'olam Haba. A mitzvah that he does in this world will accompany him to the eternal world. Shenemar, the Pasuk in Yeshaya, V'holech L'fanav Tzidkecha, U'kvod Hashem Yasofcha, V'chol Ha'over Avera Achas, and then the Avera is Molechim to the justice, to the Yom HaDin, the Day of Judgment. So the Marsha says, why is it that when it comes to the mitzvah, the language of the Gemara is Mekadmaso Voleches Lefonov Liolam Abo? When it comes to the Avera, it just says Malafafaso Umolichoso Liom Adin. There's no mention of the fact that the Avera goes in front of him. You know, Mekadmaso Voleches Lefonov in the case of a mitzvah is completely omitted in the case of the Avera. And here's the way he answers this question. He says, "Kvarik damnu bazeh ki lefi ha-maisa nivralo malach ruchani." Based on the maisa, there's a angel, a spiritual angel that's created. Im sanegar v'im kategar. If he does a mitzvah, then he gets a defense attorney in this malach. And the opposite is true. He's going to get a prosecutor malach if he does an avera. And therefore, in the case of a mitzvah, it says, "Mekadmasa v'leches lefanav." What does it mean? He says, "Al derech mashal ki lamolichim lamakom simcha v'tova." When we accompany someone to a good place, a place he wants to be, a place of joy, ein tzarech hamolicho lechos biyado. He doesn't have to hold on to the person. He can let the person go on his own. That's in the case of a mitzvah. But let's say a person has to be taken out never to the gardom. You know, he was judged for capital punishment, then amolicho tzorech lelafto lechozo shelo yishomet mileil chachorov. He has to make sure that he supports him and guarantees that, you know, he'll hold him and surround him and bring him forward. So, for example, if you have a melech gadol and he sends one of his misharsim to bring a sar choshuv to the mishta that he prepared, then when they come to the melech, they go with the shliach in front of the sar, who just shows him the way to go. He's not afraid that the sar will run away, because it's a great cover that he was invited to the simchas hamelech. But if the melech sends one of his misharsim to take someone to jail, then that Mishares, that helper of the king, is going to go behind the person who's being judged to make sure that he doesn't run away. So the Sanegar, who's created by a mitzvah, is Makdim Leleches Lefnei Amakayim. We're not afraid that the person is going to run away, because he's being brought for a good thing and for Simcha. And therefore, Kol Ha'osa Mitzvah Achas Bolam Hazeh, the Sanegar that was created, the defense attorney that was created by the mitzvah, he goes in front of him, and therefore it says, "Shenemar v'holach lefanav tzidkecha, lefanecha deka." You know, it's just dafka lefanecha. There's no chash, there's no suspicion that the man might run away. But when it comes to the avera, there it says that the malach, who's the makatreg, who's sent by Kodesh Baruch Hu, he has to go behind him and take him to the Yom HaDin from behind, because otherwise the guy might run away. And that's all the presentation of the Oel David of Rabbi David Deutsch. Now we want to go even beyond that. It's true that an avera creates a kategor, a malach chavola, that has to go behind the person and make sure that he's taken to his judgment. However, the Gemara says in Masecht Yoma that through tshuva, if you do a tshuva mi'ava, it's donos nasim lo kezochios, that his inequities are turned into positive forces. So therefore, if he can convert through tshuva mi'ava again, the kategor becomes a sanegar, because now we're talking about zechuyos. So the malach ra is transformed into a malach tov. And therefore, instead of going in front of him, he now goes in front of him, because he's taking now the person to Gan Eden, not to the opposite. So when the Torah says here in Parshas Noso, Isha o Isha, ki yasu mikol chatos ha'odom limol mal bashem v'yoshma nefesh ahi, it means that in this context he created a malach chavola who's going to walk behind him and bring him towards Gehenna. So what's the eitz in this case? The Torah says the best counsel we can give you is visvadu es chatos mesher osu. However, the pasuk now warns him and says to him, you know what? It's not enough that you do tshuva mi'ava, because then zdonos nasim kishkogos. You have to do a tshuva mi'ava, not a tshuva mi'ira, but you have to jack it up to the level of tshuva mi'ava, and then it's veheshiv v'sashoma barosho, sheyeshiv esashomo, he's going to have to, and then he'll, if he succeeds in doing this tshuva mi'ava, then he'll be able to transform the malach hamakatreg that was created by the Avera to stand Barosho. Barosho means in front of him, and serve as a kategor because he did tshuva me'ava, and now zdonos nasim lo kezochios. So when the pasuk says ve'eshev es hashoma Barosho v'chamishoso Yosef olav, tshuva me'ira is the bechina of the last hay in the name of Hashem, yud kei vav kei. Tshuva mi'ava is the first hay of yud, and then a hay vav kay, and this is all based on the Bnei Yisoskar in Chodesh Nisan. He writes, "Hine yudulcha tshuva tata mi'ira u'mivchinas hay basra, the hay at the end of the name of Hashem, tshuva ilosh u'tshuva mi'ava u'mivchinas v'asei tov u'mivchinas hay arishona, the hay at the beginning of the name of Hashem." And now the pasuk says, "Visvadu es chatosu mesher osu mitchila." Initially, he did tshuva miyira, so zdonos nasim lo kishkogos. But afterwards, he goes to a higher level. He does tshuva to the point to which ve'eshiv es hashomo barosho, that he puts the makatreg by transforming him into a sanegor. He puts him in front of him barosho, and he goes behind him. And that's what it means for Chamishoso Yosef Olav. Chamishoso is adding a five, that's the tshuva of Chamishoso, the hey barishona, which is the on the name of Havaya. That's the hey of Chamishoso. And that's tshuva mi'ava. So basically what we're saying is that through tshuva mi'ava, it's not only true that this donos become, they themselves become zochios, but even moreover, he says that the malachei chavola that were created by the avonos are not bottled, they're not out of the world, they're not gone, they don't just melt away, but rather they transform into malachei rachamim of a shivo as hashoma barosho. They go in front of him to be molachim to Gan Eden. And the arugas habosem of the pup of Popov also, or the Greenwald is that he also offers a similar idea in the Gemara in Yuma, that the Gemara, when it says tshuva mi'ira is zdonos nasim kishkogos, and he asks the question, okay, it's true that the tshuva mi'ira doesn't have the power to transform the avonos to make it into zchuyos, but what's the svara to say that zdonos nasim kishkogos? That seems like that's nowhere to be found over here. It's a very strange compromise. If the tshuva of Yira is considered tshuva, why can't it transform Avonis to Zochios? So the tshuva, on the other hand, is not so valid. Why does it have the power to convert zdonos into shkogos. So if you take a look at the Yalkut Shimoni on the Pasuk Tov Hashem Lakol V'Rachmov Al Kol Ma'asov, Tov Hashem Lakol Yochol Lakol Talmud Lomar V'Rachmov Al Kol Ma'asov. So what does this mean? So the Chidah interprets this Yalkut Shimoni based on what it says in the Mishnah in the fourth parak of Avos Ha'osav Mitzvah Achas Konolo Praklit Echad Ho'over Avera Achas Konolo Kategor Echad, that through Kiyum HaMitzvah there's a Malach that's created which is a Mamlitz, which is a Melitz Tov for the Adam, whereas in contrast, if he does an Avera, is what kind of Malach is created? An evil Malach who's Mekatrek al Adam. When a person does Tshuva Meira, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mevatel the chius, the lifeblood of this Malach HaMechabel, Malach HaMekatreg. And l'chora we would say that now since Tov Hashem Lakol is Roy Shirachim Olav HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shalolavat Lo Min Olam, but since as a result of his Avera he created a Malach, so it's very hard for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be Merachim Olav. And if this Malach, which is a Mekatreg, will continue to exist, then there would be a Kitrug, and he'll continuously mention the Avera. So the Yalkut says, Tov Hashem Lakol, Yochal Lakol. In other words, Yochal, I might think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so Tov that he takes the Mekatreg that was created by the Avonos, and he has such Rachmanos, and he decides, well, you know what? I got to leave this Mekatreg alive. Talmud Lom V'Rachmav Al Kol Masav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not V'Rachim on Kol Masav, meaning Hu Atzmo Bora, but the Mekatreg was created by the Avonos. Is Eino Maisav Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's Maisav B'nei Yodim. Therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not V'Rachim Olav, but rather he's Batum in Olam. And the Aruga Habosim goes on to develop the idea of Nasim Lo, Nasim lo kishkogos. I see we're running out of time, so we'll stop here. And Emirtz Hashem B'li Neder, if we get a chance to finish this, we're almost at the finish line. I'll just add that Isha o Isha ki yasu mikol chatas ha'odom limol mal b'ashem v'yoshma nefesh ahi, that through chet he was moel a mal b'ashem, and as a result he rejected the shechina me'al roshov, then v'svadu chatos v'shar osu. If he does tshuva shleima ve'eshivas hashomo berosho, then whatever osham was nifkam berosho, that means the shechina be'al roshah is chamishasi yosiv olav, he will be mosif lahachzir al rosho chamishasa, which is the number hey, which is the letter hey, and that five means the hey of the shechina, and that he's going to replace. And that should be a tshuva shlema of tshuva mi'ava. It should be zochet to tshuva mi'ava. Kein ratzon amen.